All right, My Miles Project, welcome back to this episode of The After Show. I have lost my voice a little bit because I decided to air bike sprint. We invited on into the gym. We're actually in the first location we used to record out of, the Edgecliff Creature Fitness location, and decided to do an air bike sprint with some founders of another company that we're looking to start a sponsorship with, so you'll learn about them soon. But you know what it's like when four dudes get together and start doing fitness. It's always ends up in disaster. And so, hence my voice might not be as crisp and as smooth as it normally is. So you might hear us coughing because I've got the, for lack of a better term, Fran cough at the moment. So I've been spitting out, you know, that murky blood saliva.
Blood.
Dude, it's blood. My throat bled for this podcast. Well, bled in that workout and now it's for this podcast. So, yeah, we've got a bunch of stuff we need to get through today, but we did actually, where I want to kick this off and probably the most exciting thing that we've done in the podcast for a while now, you guys know obviously we have a lot of sponsors for the show, but we haven't done a lot of our own stuff in a while. A lot of the stuff we give you guys is completely free for the business owners, the fitness entrepreneurs out there. We've got a link, themymuscleproject.com/free. That's where we have some of our business guides that you guys can download. But the only thing we've really done through the podcast over time is the training journal. You guys remember 2017, we launched the training journal, which we're still selling. We still have copies of. It's a hardcover journal. It's 100 days to achieve your number one fitness goal. We used it twice ourselves personally. And yeah, we just love it. Yeah. Look, there's walking past the gym, Alexa, previous guest of the podcast. That's what you do when you're in your old school location recording. Your old guests just gravitate just towards the gym. But you know where I was going with that is we haven't really given you guys much outside of the training journal. And you know, I don't know why, Raph. I feel like maybe it's because you know we were busy with the gyms, or maybe we just didn't. I didn't feel like we had reached a level of expertise where I wanted to sell anything that was like maybe fitness or nutrition related, and I felt like the content was helping people enough.
Yeah, I think I'm dying as well.
He's got the same thing.
Well, with the training journal, it really was like the only thing. We were really into journaling, and there was no training journal. So we're like, okay, this is something like totally worth it, worth putting like so much time and effort into creating. But with everything else, like, I guess since then, we just haven't really felt like, oh, there's like, we just got to be able to create this for the audience. Mm. And like, it's not out there. And if we don't create it, that, you know, we're not helping them.
And I just felt like, at least for the most part, we hadn't built enough of a, I felt like I hadn't had enough experience with enough clients at the gym and with myself personally, enough years under my belt to kind of feel like I developed the wisdom as to like what works for a broad range of people. I knew what worked for myself. I knew what, you know, I was doing at the time worked for the people doing the same program. But it's not until you really diversify your training, our offerings at the gym. You know, we've processed thousands of clients now, and we've seen so many go through it to find out stuff that's effective and stuff that really works well. And, you know, I also didn't want to get stuck doing coaching and programming for people online. That was the only way that we really saw when we started in this space, how people were selling training and fitness knowledge. And it didn't appeal to me. Like I'd coached some online clients, they'd gotten some really good results, but it just wasn't where my passion lay. I just really did like helping people just help themselves with like general health and fitness, not getting to the CrossFit Games. It wasn't as exciting for me. I liked the personal pursuit, but in terms of helping the client, that just wasn't that exciting to me. And then it wasn't until our training kind of took a bit of a right turn, and we started doing some bodybuilding, some powerlifting, you started doing some endurance sports, and we mucked around with a few stuff, and man, now we're at like 500 episodes. Next month we celebrate our fifth year doing podcasting. We were just talking about the start of this show, like, man, we have been doing this for so long now, like we are OGs in this space, and we've interviewed so many people, like the amount of knowledge that we've just accumulated from our conversations is enough to write a whole textbook for. And I thought, okay, how can we help, you know, you and I sat down, we're like, all right, how can we help the My Muscle Project listeners more? Because they want our help. I mean, you guys ask us for stuff all the time. And I had an idea. I was like, fuck, you know, I think that we can help people with programming and with training, but in a way that, like, I didn't want to do it in a way that I knew it wouldn't really get results, or would only get results for a small amount of people, or only work for a few different select people. I wanted to make something that was effective for the most amount of people possible, and that anyone could use it at any time. You didn't have to be a special situation, or you didn't have to have a specific goal to use it. And that was like the training journal, right? Anyone could pick it up and use it. That's why I liked it so much. And so we ended up coming up with Booster, or Boost. And we haven't decided on the name just yet, but Boost Programs is basically what we're calling it. And Boost is basically a booster program that you'll be able to use. Will be basically anything that you can bolt on to your current program. So we didn't want to write full programs for people because, to be honest, like we surveyed you guys on Instagram, and a lot of you have programs. You have things you follow. You have coaches. You're at commercial fitness. It was actually interesting. There's a 50-50 split on the Instagram story between commercial fitness gyms and group fitness gyms, which I found super interesting. I thought I would have guessed most of you came from some kind of group fitness gym, but it's cool to know that you're out there battling away in the globo, just on your own, doing your own programming. But I knew that a lot of you are following something at the moment. You have an online coach, or you're doing some kind of group program, and I didn't want to necessarily compete with those people. But what I did know is that everyone likes to do extras. Mm. Everyone likes to do something additional to their program. And so I was like, okay, what is some of the cool things, or what are some of the things you guys constantly ask for that you want to get better at, or what are a lot of the listener questions focus around? And a lot of stuff came up around like strength work and bodybuilding and growing muscle and that sort of stuff. So
usually like weaknesses, stuff like that is the most common, right?
Right, right. And cool shit as well. Like people want to do extras, but not everyone wants to do like some boring endurance work sometimes, you know? Like maybe they do. Maybe we'll create a program like that in the future. But the first booster program that we created is the Bench Booster. So basically, if you guys remember, I did a 100-day goal for my bench press. I went from about 115 to 140. Which was pretty cool. I feel like I got my man card with the three plates. And I learned a lot in that. And I employed a lot of different techniques that I had accumulated over all the interviews. Some of the most notable ones were I used a lot of the warm-ups from Eugene Tia. I used a lot of the programming methodology from some of the West Side guys, like Mark Bell. And I used some of the programming stuff from Dr. Quinn Hennock from Juggernaut. And I used a lot of the warm-ups from StrongFit. So I kind of incorporated all those principles into the program, and I got a really good result. But that was a very bench-heavy program. So what the booster is, it's a very stripped-back version of a very effective program. So what it does, it's got my three-part warm-up, which is like some really, really effective warming up I did. I think one thing that prevents people from getting really good results is just having a consistent warm-up and cool-down. So I made sure I included that. I explained those in some videos in the program. And then I wrote an 8-week template. So anyone can add it on. It uses a variety of different training principles that work extremely well. So it has auto regulation. How that is used is like RPE, so rate of perceived exertion, which just means rather than giving you a fixed percentage, it gives you an effort rating on the day, which is awesome because, hey, you might have 90% that day, but maybe the night before you had 4 or 5 drinks, you didn't get much sleep, you're up late or whatever, or maybe you're sick and it's just not a day you can hit it. That's why RPE is so effective. Why I get such good results. I used RPE to keep myself injury free and also to just like really see just good linear progress over the program. Anytime I do percentages, I get injured, like almost guaranteed. And so Booster's got auto regulation. That's like one of the most important things in it. But the best part about it is you can do it in like 20 minutes. So including the warm up, including your main set, and then your accessory work. So it's kind of like a main lift and then some tricep accessory work. You get the whole booster program done in 20 minutes. And it's a 2-day-a-week program. Anything more than that, and it'd just be too disruptive. I feel like it'd do more harm than good. So in those 2 days, I mean, the thing is, people, when they do extras, they want to do it every day. But this is not one of those things you do every day. You can just knock it out in 2 sessions in the week and get all the benefits, which is what I like about it so much. It's so time efficient. You can add it on so easily to any program, and it's not an everyday thing. The annoying part about some extras programs, it's like, here's a 7-day-a-week extras program. You're like, man, I don't want to do this every day.
And then you're behind.
Don't even go to the gym every day.
Yeah.
But I know at least people go to the gym twice a week, right? Mm. So they're going to add it on either way. So what it does is, basically the goal of it is to improve your bench press significantly. But as a, you know, what are the side effects of improving your bench press that I noticed? Ring dips got better, push-ups got better, burpees got better, muscle-ups got better. Obviously grew the size of my arms and my chest significantly. All these extra benefits And the best part was because of the warm up, because of the exercises, the accessory works that I chose, a lot of Eugene Tia stuff is injury free. That's probably the most common thing when people add on this extra stuff, is they get an injury. So the program is the template and it has all the video instructions. It has like how I set up for the bench, how to rack, unrack, how to set your shoulders properly. Because a lot of the bench videos out there, it's like, okay, here's a power lifter telling you how to bench. It's like, and here's a bodybuilder telling you how to bench. Like, And so what I did was kind of mix up a lot of the best of both worlds and found what really worked, because you don't want to do that crazy arch. No one wants to do that. And you don't want to do just a bodybuilding pump, right? You want to incorporate a little bit of everything. So I feel like I got a really good blend of performance and aesthetics in there in terms of a lot of the different styles that you can use. And so, yeah, it's an eight-week template. It's got all video instructions with it, and it's super inexpensive. So you guys can, like, I made it extremely affordable for anyone. That's like almost a no-brainer. You guys can go to themindmuscleproject.com/boost if you want to check that out. Well, the next booster program that we'll probably add in will be squats.
Once Raph, you get big up top, you got to get big down below.
Raph is the master at squats, so he's going to be employing at least, God, when did you start squatting? It's got to be 15 years of squatting.
Yeah, about 14. So yeah, 14 years.
Yeah. So some pretty significant wisdom in that. So guys, we're very excited about this program. I think if anyone's interested in this sort of thing, like I said, it's anyone can do it. Anyone can add it on. And yeah, you can check it out. themymuscleproject.com/boost. And you can pick up the Bench Booster, the first program of a very exciting library that we'll continue to build out, provide value with you guys. And those, some of the videos from that course as well will be on our YouTube channel. So if you guys are curious as to, you know, what do you talk about, what's interesting in this program, you can check it out there. I'm excited. Very excited. All right, let's get into some listener questions. Oh, we need to do a, let's look at the reviews. Let's see if we got some significant reviews from last week. All right. So last, I think one of you guys messaged us in. If you hear your name, orders@themindmuscleproject.com, send us in your address, your name, and your mobile number, and we will get the apparel out to you straight away. We are running out, like I said. So we're low on some sizes, but there's at least one of everything left at the moment. So the winning review this week goes to the Mantis Shrimp from America. Good podcasting skill. The real key to these guys is that they know how to produce a good podcast, audio quality and length. They know how to engage the guests, the hosts, play off each other well, and are comical when necessary. And they get
when necessary.
And they get a good variety of guests. I originally came to listen to all the CrossFit interviews they did, but ended up staying as the podcast moved beyond CrossFit. Thank you for saying that, because of the general high quality. Even though I miss the CrossFit stuff, what the podcast now is probably more unique in term and whole in terms of its fitness themed. Fantastic. Fantastic.
Something so funny about that. I came for the CrossFit part, stay for the strength training.
The Mantis Shrimp, send us your name, mobile number, address to orders@themindmuscleproject.com and we will ship you a shirt straight away. Okay, listener question one of the week. This is a good one actually. From DSAS26. Advice for girls specifically on building muscle if they've always focused on losing fat. Ooh. Great question, D. Okay, let me start by saying a lot of the principles, if not all of them, for building muscle for girls is the same as it is for guys. The only time that it will vary, and this is a podcast that we have coming up in the future, is changing your training cycles in accordance to your menstrual cycle. So we had an interview with Dr. Stacy Sims, who's an expert in this field, and she talks about this particular subject in depth with us in a future episode. I think it's coming out, I want to say October.
Really good episode.
Yeah, really good episode. So that's the only variance there, but all the principles are still the same. It doesn't mean girls should not strength train, or they need high reps versus low reps, or they need, you know, different exercises. You know, all the stuff that works for guys is all the stuff that works for girls. And yeah, there's definitely differences for sure, but the principles are the same. A 5x5 for guys grows muscle just as effectively as it does for girls. It's not like girls need 5x15. It's not some different thing there. Muscle tissue is still muscle tissue. So that being said, the question asks about if you've always focused on losing body fat. Now, obviously a part of losing body fat, you know, well, most girls that, I would say 95% of girls that walk through our doors have been trying to lose body fat
yes.
most of their life, if not a higher percentage. And what have they been trying to do? They've been trying to do a lot of cardio and they've been eating as little food as possible, yep. right? So they're hungry and they're fit. So they're savage.
Hungry, they're hot, they're mad.
And they're fit. So it's kind of like the reverse, right?
Yep.
You need to increase your calorie intake and you need to dramatically reduce the amount of cardio that you're doing and start increasing your weight training. Now, obviously, the shift into that direction is scary because you're like, I'm going to bulk up. I'm going to get big, broad shoulders. I'm going to look like a guy. I don't want to get it. Look, here's the thing. You're not going to wake up and be like, fuck, I overdid it in that session. I look like a guy now. My traps, my delts are huge. It doesn't work like that. That shit takes time. And so you start slow. Okay, you do 5 cardio sessions a week. We're going to do 4. And then next month, we're going to do 3 and then 2. And then we're going to replace each cardio session with a weight session. But we're not going to go nuts on the weights. We're just going to do a little bit of strength training. And in terms of the nutrition and the diet, again, small, slow changes. And these small, slow changes also mean for you physically, you'll also see small, slow changes. And as a result, when you hit a certain look or a certain body type or a place that you want to be at, then you can kind of hit pause and go on a maintenance cycle. You don't have to continue the muscle building phase. Now, usually what happens is girls will realize, oh, okay, I don't have insane muscle building genetics. And oh, wait, I'm actually eating more. I'm not hungry all the time. And I look better. My body composition's actually improved because, you know, having more muscle on you just generally speeds up your metabolism. And as a result, you lose more body fat. If you have more muscle on you, that tissue burns more fuel throughout the day. It burns more stored energy. It burns more body fat. So as a result, you actually end up getting leaner. So you start putting on more muscle, you're eating more food, and you're getting leaner. Of course, the body's going to change a little bit with how you look. If you get more shoulders, your arms, more biceps, definition, quads, that sort of stuff, that stuff happens. But like I said, it's slow. So when you reach the point that you're happy with, you can pause and stay there for a while. And the best part is now you have a higher maintenance level. So you can eat more. You don't have to be hungry all the time. You can be more exciting at a social event, right? You don't have to be as much of a weirdo. But I guess the hardest part really for the girls, it's the mental change, right?
It's the psychological barrier is I think bigger for women, probably just because the habit of eating less to be small is like more ingrained than with guys, I think.
Yeah.
Particularly ones who get here, like we just had a girl I've been working with at the gym and she needs to gain like 10 kilos, super skinny, and it's a psychological barrier where you just like look at food and you're like, that just seems like so much food. So for those clients, like what we do is just more frequent meals. Guys seem to be more on board with just, oh, you want me to stuff my face with this like massive meal? Fuck yeah. And women just, I think, like slightly superior and just like, nah, just like don't want to eat that much food in one go. So with people like those, it's like, hey, you need to eat more frequently if you like don't feel comfortable eating like really large meals. So the psychological one is huge. And then I would say probably the other one, biggest difference is like guys don't care where they gain muscle. Like if someone's like, oh, like you want to keep this muscle small. Guys, like whatever, bro. Like chin muscles, eyebrows, all good. Like any muscle on this body,
all the muscles,
I want it to grow.
Yeah.
Whereas girls, I mean, you can just, often they're like, oh, I don't want to get too big. But what they really mean is like, I don't want these particular areas of my body to get too big.
I'll have a bigger butt any day of the week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're not like, oh no, like, you know, this area, it's just like, no, this area of my thigh, like no. And obviously in terms of how many you eat and the calories towards growth, you can't control that, right? If you're eating in a surplus, you're going to grow muscle everywhere. But you can signal to your body what areas to grow.
Through
strength training. So I think, you know, if you're in the muscle gain category, you just need to think about, hey, what do I want to grow and attack that? And then you can really sculpt like the body and everything that you want and you can probably live without fear and try and gain as much muscle as you possibly can in the areas you want to grow. Rather than doing this like soft, half-hearted effort at everything because you're so worried about the one area not growing.
Right.
And you can just like not do quads.
Yeah.
It's not that hard and you can still smash your posterior or whatever it is for the person. So I would just really think about that. Like, what do I want to grow and get after that as hard as you can.
Yeah, I like that. I like what you said there about you can't spot reduce fat, but you can spot increase 100%. Muscle.
You can sculpt yourself.
Yeah. So with that being said, if there are, like you said, if there are areas you absolutely do not want to grow, don't train them.
Don't train them. They will shrivel.
Yeah. And just keep them small. Like, look at cyclists, right? Tiny upper bodies.
Tiny.
Huge legs.
Yes.
Huge legs. You can increase the muscle in wherever you want it. So just don't do heaps of reps on the areas you don't want it, right?
Yeah. Do none.
Yeah, do none. Well, I mean, you don't want to be frail and weak.
Yeah. But I think in general as well, like if you're eating in a surplus, like you're kind of gaining muscle, usually you just like maintain all those areas.
Yeah.
And then you grow in the ones you train.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think it's a very liberating feeling. You know, most girls live their whole life being scared of food.
Mm.
Like, they don't want to... Especially, you know, I've sat down to eat with girls before that I don't know that well. Maybe they're a new member of the gym, or maybe it's a friend of a friend or whatever, and they're just kind of meeting them for the first time. And they don't like to eat a lot of food in front of guys all the time. Mm. They're embarrassed about it, right?
It's like the first day, they always get like a salad.
Yeah.
Come home starving.
Yeah, but I know they're hungry. Like, maybe they just did a workout at the gym, or maybe I know that they haven't eaten much today already. Yeah. Maybe I know it's the start of the day or whatever, and they don't want to eat much. And, you know, what they don't realize yet is you can eat a lot of food and still be very, very lean and very muscly. You just have to start the muscle building process. That's the thing. You have to bring up your base metabolic rate. If you have like no muscle on your body, you can't eat a lot of food, because if you start stacking on a lot of food and you have like no muscle, it's just gonna store as fat, right? It's gonna be turned to stored energy. But if you're doing strength training, if you're doing hypertrophy training, that extra food is gonna go straight into building muscle. Your body wants to build muscle if you're sending it the right stimulus. So it's gonna have a positive effect on your metabolism, especially you're gonna get those beginner gains. Like, you're gonna get a big ass, you're gonna get legs straight away. Yeah, straight away. But not at a pace that you wake up the next day and you're like, I fucked up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So hopefully that was helpful, D. Hopefully we answered some of the
good
concerns.
Good question. I reckon, if you've been trying to lose weight for ages, it's so good to try and gain muscle. Because I find people that want to always lose weight, they have this thing like, oh, if I ever just like could eat as much as I want, be like the best thing ever.
Yeah.
And it's like not the best thing ever. And I think it might help you with your food a little bit, having a bit where you're trying to eat more.
I'll tell you what as well. The side effect of all this is you get stronger.
Yeah.
And girls that have been losing weight their whole life, they're generally not so very
weak.
Strong.
Yeah.
Like, they're very weak, and it's not a very empowering place to be, right? Always feeling like, oh, I can't pick that up, or can't, you know, carry... You know, if people move house all the time, like, oh, I can't carry this shit, or I can't lift the luggage
up.
Even
like, you know, we had a girl in here joining. She's like, oh, I couldn't defend myself in any way if anything ever happened.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like a sitting duck.
Yeah.
Like, it's depressing.
Yeah, it's not a very empowering place. And once you start deadlifting your body weight and squatting your body weight, it's an empowering feeling.
Yeah. And you're fitter than, stronger than most guys.
Yeah. Strength is much harder to achieve than fitness.
Yeah.
So achieving strength, like getting really fit is cool. But when you get really strong, then I'm telling you right now, it's way cooler than being fit. It just is.
Yeah, it's just a different feeling. And in everyday life, it's generally got a different, very different process.
Yeah.
And a different feeling you walk around when you can just like do things.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Cool. Great question. Next question is from Nanaki. What if there was a device that tracked the numbers of words we spoke in a day? Okay, so that's an interesting question. If a device attracts the number of words we spoke in a day, well, I think we probably find that a lot of people speak more than they expect.
I'm sure that app is probably out there. Because like, when you look at YouTube videos, it tells you like the words per minute in the video and stuff on the sidebar. All you need is your phone to listen.
Mm.
And you probably could do it. Might drain your battery life.
Yeah.
But I'm sure. Don't know how interesting it would be.
Well, I'm just trying to think what you could use the data for. I mean, what I would theorize using the data for is if you wanted to be a person, maybe a lot of people tell you like, hey, you talk too much, or maybe you should listen a bit more. That could be something where you're like, okay, I speak 10,000 words a day.
Yeah.
I want to get it down to 8,000, you know, and I'll listen a bit more. So that could be effective for that person.
Yeah.
But I think what people will be interested in is maybe the content of their words.
Yeah.
Right. Rather than the number, be like, oh, look how many times in a day you say but or or that, or you talk about sex, or you talk about drugs, or you talk about fitness. It's like, wow, this...
I would imagine, that probably would be the most helpful thing.
Imagine vegans tracking how many times they talk about
vegetables. If you had a recording, you probably would notice how often you bring up the same topics.
Dude, imagine how many times we would have said deadlift, paleo, CrossFit back in the day.
And
ridiculous.
Because the thing is, you see that in other people. You're like, oh, that person like always brings up that same topic.
Mm.
So annoying.
Mm.
But you obviously do the same thing. It's just you don't think it's annoying because it's like it's in your head.
Mm.
So you always just end up steering the conversation there.
Mm.
So that would be pretty good app. Maybe if someone listens that is a chief technology officer.
Yeah, we'd like to invest in your company. Yeah, but I guess it's recording the word somehow would be a way to do it. It'd be interesting. But they could, I mean, like all data, they'll use it against you somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They'll be selling you something.
They'll sell you, 100%.
They're like, buy my program.
I mean,
reduce how much you speak.
They basically do already, right? They're tracking the words that you're saying and they're sending you ads.
I thought we saw in that movie
that they didn't.
They didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they do.
Right.
But the point is that it basically does, because the things that you talk about are things that you are Googling
just randomly,
and like you are talking about on Messenger. Like if you think about almost anything we talk about, at some point we've messaged about it.
Right.
So they basically are.
Right. But they're not actually.
They're not actually listening. Right. Yet.
Not yet. That we know of. Unless that film was made by the people that track our data. And they're like, we have to put out a convincing film which convinces them that we're not listening.
We're totally not listening. They're like, this is the ultimate scene.
Who knows? Who knows? Okay. We've got two questions from... I think this guy asked a question last week, Griff Beeler. He wants to know two questions. First one, what is your policy on working out without shirts? And second question, how old were you both when you found a creature? Cool. So first question, what's your policy on working out without shirts?
We just have a strict policy of no shirts allowed in the gym. As soon as you walk,
take those shirts.
Jumpers are fine.
Yeah.
No, we don't have a policy. I think like once in the gym we thought about a policy, and like I think we did maybe bring it in, because that was more the early days of CrossFit where we had some members. What we realized was it wasn't the shirts, it was the members.
It was the people taking off the shirts.
Yeah, it was the attitude of the people taking off the shirts. Because, and what we found is we don't really need a policy anymore because we just changed the culture, which is like so much more important. For instance, at like one of my gyms, I've got someone that's like, he is the main person that takes his shirt off at the gym, and he's like 57 years old. I'm dead serious. Like, he's in good shape, 57 years old, but he always takes it off. And I'm like, man, you know, this guy loves taking his shirt off. Like, sweet. He's in pretty good shape. He's nearly 60, but he's got no six pack or anything like that. And like, you know, he's married and got like a kid that comes to the gym who's like 20. Like, he's not there picking up girls or anything. And he's just so not intimidating about it that everybody, I think, is generally cool with it as long as he's like using it. Then we have towels at the gym as well. So he's like, you know, he's toweling things down.
Yeah.
But if we had like 19, 20 year olds doing it every single day and like, shouting and taking photos after class, then we'd be thinking about a policy.
Yeah.
But the culture's different.
Yeah. No, I think you hit the nail on the head there. It's the people that take off the shirt and how they go about doing it. It's like when you say something and there's like the content of what you say versus how you deliver it and what you say can completely change the message, right? So if you're coaching someone in class to, or maybe you're telling someone about nutrition, right? Say I start ketogenic diet, right? And I start telling you about keto. And I go, you know, Raf, if you just like cut a little bit of carb and, you know, you increase your fat, like it's really effective. Mm. Like I've found it's working quite well for me. I'm pretty sharp versus coming in and being like the same message, dude, I'm telling you, it changed my fucking life. Yeah. Like I feel energized. I feel like I'm on drugs 24/7. This is incredible. Like I'm selling you a completely different thing in a way that you're like, dude, can you get out of my face? Mm. Like, this is, and it's the same way if you take your shirt off. Do you take it off like in the warm up and you throw it around and you sweat on everything and you bounce your weights on everything and you throw dumbbells? Like, no, right? Versus, okay, it's actually legitimately hot now. Everyone's sweating. I can see it's hot. I'm ruining this shirt. I'm going to take my shirt off. I'm going to wipe things down. I'm not be a dickhead about it. I'm not going to make a lot of noise. There's a whole different way of doing it. Now, I think what's really interesting here is for me, I was like, instantly shirt off guy. Mm. And I think it was just the phase that I was going through. Yeah. I was the dickhead 21, 22 year old that was like, hey, look at me. You know, I've got my shirt off constantly. Versus now, I couldn't care less for it. The only time I will genuinely take my shirt off is if like, oh, I don't want to ruin this shirt. But I normally go for the sleeveless, the muscle tank.
Yeah.
And I just keep that on.
I think the truth was that everyone was like, oh, it's so good. Like in CrossFit gyms, you get to take your shirt off. Because we've all thought about it like a Globo gym. Like, I wish I could take my shirt off. And like, you can't at a Globo gym. And that is one thing that's like...
Because there's too many mirrors around.
You legitimately can't take it off. And I think everyone got almost too excited about it. Because now I like generally, just don't take my shirt off. Particularly when the members are around. And you realize like, you know what? Working out in a sweaty t-shirt is fine. Like, it's not that bad.
No.
But it was just like, we were so excited about the freedom of having to do it. That like, it's almost like what sold me. Bro, it's like what sold me on the gym.
Right.
Rory's like, dude, you can take your shirt off in this CrossFit. Like, holy shit. Like, everyone's cool with it. Like, dude, everyone's cool with it. In fact, it's encouraged. I'm like, dude, sign me the fuck up. $70 a week, whatever. Because it's just so different. And I really think that's like part of the selling point.
Yeah.
But what you'll notice now is, most of the gyms that are very successful in the space, like people have their shirts on.
A lot of them do have a no shirts off policy as well. Just, I know NorCal has it.
It's just more inclusive
for
people to come in. And like, you know, if you're the owner or you're the coach, someone walks in, it's like the first day, and you got your shirt off, and you're jacked, because you've been doing it for a long time. It's like more intimidating than just having your shirt on.
Yeah. You'd be surprised. I think when I first started, I had the attitude of like, hey, people will see this, they'll be impressed, and they'll want to sign up to the gym. Nah. It's the opposite effect. Yeah, people are intimidated. Opposite. They're like, this is, I don't want to work out here. Yeah. Look at this guy. It's a freak show.
Like, once you really like, realize how important having people pay your bills is, you generally just keep your shirt on,
yeah,
because you need to make sales and you can deal with a sweaty t-shirt.
It's just it, and you set the tone of the culture, right? If I go into the gym every day and I'm shirtless and I'm sweaty and I'm training non-stop, that's what my staff are going to think is appropriate. If I never have my shirt off, if I always train, I tidy up after myself, I don't make a lot of noise, you set the standard.
Yeah,
the owner sets the standard. It's a trickle-down effect. So it's just how you want to go about it.
Also, I can't deal with the questions about what's wrong with my chest. So now I just keep a muscle tank.
Hey, but how's that going, by the way? Are you fixing it?
It's going okay. I'm taking before and after photos. Okay. I can't say I can see a difference yet.
But how many weeks has it been?
Like 3-4 weeks.
Of this nerve exercises, right?
Yeah, and like I've been doing this like long stretching on my neck. So I'll like keep my neck in a stretch position for 20 minutes. Mm. And I can like can't even get out of it at the end. It's like so stretched. But it's getting easier. And then on the weekend, I go and I get my neck stretched with weights. So like I have like a neck weight, 5 kilos, pulling my neck over like kind of like a roller.
Okay.
So it's like pulling it into that C shape.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Yeah.
And when I come out of that, I do feel like really, really good.
Right. Interesting.
So I'll keep you having updated.
Yeah. Cool. And then last question that we'll finish on before we get into the Netflix review today is, how old were you both when you founded Creature?
21 and 22. February 2014.
Yeah, I was 21.
Yep.
Yeah. Just the perfect age where
22.
You have no life experience. You have like just an unrelenting arrogance about life and all the naivety in the world of what it takes to run a business. And that's like, I guess that's the perfect age to start. We've met a lot of people that start businesses pretty young, not as young as we did. But it's, here's the thing, man. Like, people want to compare ages. They want to base success off, oh, when did you start a business and how long have you been doing it and how old were you when you started and all that sort of stuff. And look, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how fast you got there or, you know, if you did in 5 years, if you did in 10 years, if you did in 15 years or you did in 1 year. You just got to run your own race, is what you realize. Because people just do it at all different paces, at all different ages. It's got nothing to do with sport.
Mm.
I think that's how... in terms of when you start and how long it takes and to be successful, I think that's how... Look, it compares a lot to sport, for sure. I've called it like the sport of business, but it has its own set of rules.
Yeah, it's very different.
Yeah.
It's very different. Like, sport, I think there's just like that physiological adaptation.
There's the limits, yeah.
Which, like, takes time and it's really clear how... Like, we know, like, how long it takes to become a really good gymnast and what years you have to be doing it. Same with, like, rowing and running and all these sports. Business has like so many parts to it. It's just not like that at all.
Way too many variables. I mean, it could, you know, someone could work for someone for 15 years. They could accumulate all the knowledge in the world they need to start their own business. And then within 6 months, they could have a successful company.
Yeah.
Because they've just been accumulating and accumulating. But if they started 15 years before that, they may never get to the point that they hit in 6 months because they got they missed all the valuable lessons that they learned working for someone else for 15 years.
So, I mean, it's also just not true. I mean, I know like Gary Vee makes it super popular and he's like, oh, like, you know, the super entrepreneurs, like always entrepreneurs from day one. And like you and I like barely worked a job and I guess we fall into the category. Well, I know people that are like crazy successful.
Well, we barely worked a career.
Yeah, barely worked a career.
Lot of jobs.
I had a lot of jobs as well. But like I struggled to hold them down for very long.
What was the longest job you had?
The cinema for like 14 months. But like how was I...
14 months?
For how I did not get fired from that thing... After the shit I did in that job is... I mean, that was a whole nother podcast.
Did you tell the story when you... with the frozen Coke? Was it the frozen Cokes or the ice creams?
Just the ice creams.
How old
basically, cut the story short, I was like 18 years old. 18 years old. And
everyone knows the Choc Tops, right?
Everyone knows Choc Tops and ice cream sandwiches. And basically, I just like messed up, did not turn the freezer on. And like working all this day shift. And then cinemas are empty during the day. But they have birthday parties. So there's like 40 kids turn off. It's like 5-year-old birthday parties. I'm like, sweet. Everybody gets an ice cream and a popcorn and a Coke. So I hand out like 50 of these ice cream sandwiches and Choc Tops. They all go into the cinema. And
they're in like this plastic wrapping, right?
Plastic wrapping and ice cream sandwich.
Yeah.
And then the Choc Top is held together because it's got the hard chocolate casing around it.
Yeah.
And literally like the first kid comes out with ice cream all over his shirt from the Choc Top. Second kid comes out to take a bite into the ice cream sandwich. Ice cream just splatters all over him. Like, both are crying.
It's basically liquid at this point.
Both are crying.
Right?
That was the point when my boss realized that I had not turned the freezer on from the start of the day. You take the ice cream from the walk-in freezer to the small freezer.
Right, right.
Man, it was so bad that you know, it was so bad they had to move cinemas.
Oh my God. That was that much ice cream all over the cinema.
They had to call in a cleaning team to clean the cinema because there was no way they could hold it to another movie because there was like ice cream all over the seats. Like every kid, because kids are dumb, right? Kids are dumb. They don't realize that after 20 kids have opened their ice cream and ice cream's gone everywhere, their ice cream is going to be different. They're like, yeah. No, it's my ice cream. It'll be fine. So every one of these kids opened up their ice cream and warm ice cream blew everywhere. So anyway, I did generally a bad job with my jobs.
But you held it down for 14 months.
14 months, yeah. Impressive. I don't know how I did it. I was the top salesman. We signed people up to subscriptions to become a member.
Oh, nice.
And I broke all the records on signing people up.
I would love to have heard one of those subscriptions. I would love to have heard one of those pictures.
So anyway, that's where they kept me. But yeah, some other guys work jobs and then kill it as an entrepreneur. So it's just like, I just don't think it's a real rule.
Yeah, it's not a rule.
It's not a rule.
That's not a rule. I mean, if you took all the case studies, right, and all the people I knew and all the different rules and advice and stuff, it all ends up coming out to zero.
Yeah.
All the advice equals to zero.
One thing I'll notice in fitness is I do think that people that have had some like fitness experience working a job in fitness tend to be more successful at their first go of running their own business and stuff. Like we took a while, and I think because we hadn't done that much of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you had done PT.
Yeah.
Rory done some PT. I hadn't done much except just CrossFit coaching. So we were lacking experience in sales and systems and stuff like that. Other people I've noticed that have come from like really good big box gyms just kill it straight away.
Yeah, well, look at the Mind Pump guys, right? Yep. Like Sal having his gym and stuff. Like, he was in upper management. They knew they were doing phone sales. They were calling leads and stuff. And so they knew, okay, if I'm going to go do something on my own, I know, like, these gyms give you a ton of leads.
Yeah.
And, like, leads drive the growth of the business.
Well, like, my young cousin's doing sales at a Fitness First Globo gym. And I'm like, oh, like, tell me about your sales. She's like, oh, here's my script. Here's, like, my closing percentage. I'm like, you are killing it.
Yeah.
This is awesome. You know about percentages. Like, yeah, it's like, this is my strategy. I like, get them on the phone.
Do you know any of that stuff?
She's 21, you know, doesn't know much. I'm like, that is such a good job.
Yeah.
So I think if you're young and you're in fitness, I think you're better off going into a really well-established gym that's going to teach you more than maybe a boutique gym where the owner is just like, hey, coach class for me.
Yeah.
Because you're going to not learn that much before you go open your own gym.
Well, I coached at Active for like 2 years. And
you learn a lot about coaching, but you learn so little about the rest.
Yeah.
Because they just don't really teach you it, or maybe they don't know it.
Yeah.
Or you're just not part of it. It's not part of your role because it's a smaller organization. So I reckon, yeah, like, don't think it's a bad idea to get a job in fitness somewhere really good.
Yeah, and especially work your way up the chain.
Mm.
Just so you can kind of get all the different processes that are involved. Yeah, it makes a big difference. But look, I wouldn't change anything. I mean, we're here for a reason. We're here. All our choices have led us to this point today. So,
to this podcast right now.
Exactly. It is what it is. So, before we roll into the documentary today, I am excited with our delivery. True Protein have delivered more protein bars. Very excited to hoe into
them. Whole suite of products.
Interesting. I went to our mate Sean's gym and I noticed the chocolate had more bars than the salted caramel. And I was outraged.
Really?
He goes, no. He goes, that's the second box of salted caramel.
Ah, yeah.
He
goes, sells that faster.
Smash through the first box.
I will admit, I've had a lot of conversations about True Protein bars, more than I think I should be in a tag. But salted caramel does seem to be winning the taste war.
Yeah.
I'm still a chocolate man, but people love the salted caramel bar.
Yeah.
Man, the feedback on it has been incredible.
I just hope for the life of God that they make it into our, like, Woolies and Coles. So, for our international listeners, that's like our supermarket chains.
Yeah.
Because the available options, like, I purposely every time, like, have you noticed how many protein bars are hitting our shelves now?
It has. Okay,
it's gone. It's exploded out of nowhere.
It's actually really gone crazy. I don't know if it's all because, like, we live in, you know, Bondi anyway. It's like more health obsessed areas. But I'll tell you one thing. So at Coles, so for Americans, it's like a normal supermarket, right? My whole life at the checkout, it's like just the bottom of the barrel shit, right? Like, shit,
Aussie
like
bodies,
you hate yourself.
Masashi.
No. Like, sorry, the checkout, it's Kit Kats. And it's Snickers,
right?
Right?
Yeah.
For really cheap, like $1.
Yeah.
And I always looked at them, like, I think I've considered buying one for the last, like, 15 years, still haven't bought one.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, $1, that's so cheap. For like, I'm like, why do I need a chocolate bar? And for the first time, they switched it to, like, protein bars and protein balls. And I'm like, that is crazy. That's at the checkout.
Yeah.
So, it's the only thing on offer is, like, protein bars and balls. I'm like, if you told me that when I was 15, where you had to, like, search for, like, this one shitty protein bar made from,
like,
soy in the whole supermarket. Man, things are... Like, I'm sure it's not like that in Penrith, but things are changing.
Yeah. Well, like, the most enjoyable part about our US trips, I used to love going to the supermarket and just standing in front of the protein aisle.
Oh,
just
that's the best part of the whole trip.
And looking at all the different bars on
100%.
Offer. And when I used to go to Australia, I mean, there's maybe two brands. And now, there's 20, 30 brands on the shelf. But here's the thing. They all suck. They all still suck.
Okay, just to do this. Just go to the back of nearly everyone, and nearly everyone is still soy protein.
No. What, you know what's worse than that is their macros, right? I picked up, so there's this company, Youfoods, right? And they do, this is like the sponsorship Dead for Life. So they do these like, they're selling plenty of meals. They don't give a fuck. So they sell prepackaged meals. That's where they started.
Yeah.
And now they've pivoted into protein.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen that. And obviously, protein comes with protein bars.
Yep.
Here's the macros on their Youfoods protein bar. 6 grams of protein.
Yeah.
Fuck. 15 grams of fat, 28 grams of carbohydrate. I'm like, it's not a protein bar.
Yeah,
that is
a
carbohydrate
bar.
Fat bar featuring protein.
It should say low protein bar.
Dude, that
is... We've nearly got rid of all the protein.
That is outrageous. Yeah.
But I'm sure, like, you know, those things taste good. So people that don't know anything about fitness are like, oh, yeah, it's so good. It's so filling. Because, like, yeah, because you have so many calories, so much fat.
This is exactly the reason you need to share this podcast. So you can get more people stop putting that shit in their body and start eating more true protein.
So true protein bars, I mean, it is the way. It's like we talked about. Three things for a protein bar. Macros, taste, and healthy ingredients.
Yeah.
And they score very high on all three.
All three. TrueProtein.com.au, MindMuscle10 when you check out with your box of sea salt caramel 10 pack of bars, and you'll save 10%. Okay. So we watched a documentary today. Look, I'm just going to get right into it. We watched Winning.
Yep.
It's a piece of shit. Sucks. Do not. I could barely get through the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I was sitting there.
I retitled it Losing.
I was watching it with my girlfriend, Evan, and her sister, and I was just looking at them, and we're about 10 minutes in, and I just looked at them, and I go, so, just me, or does this suck? And they're like, yeah. Okay, new rule. You're not watching your stupid documentaries for your podcast in our Netflix viewing time. And I said, you know what? I take some big risks on this, and yes, this one has definitely not paid off. So, Winning is about, from... what I managed to get through, I watched about 20 minutes, then I skipped through and I watched about another five minutes. It's about, they're on a really low budget, so they got some pretty average.
Like, I think it was like $50 to $60 budget.
I mean, they were good athletes. Like,
Yeah, of course.
In their time, they were good athletes, but they're still no names.
Great athletes that I had never heard of.
They're still the people that like, oh, this is the first gymnast that got a perfect 10 and this is like this chick won Wimbledon like 4 times, but you've still never heard of them.
You know
what I mean? Like they weren't crazy big names. It was just like, oh, this guy was...
Except for Jack Nicholson, the golfer. I don't know if you heard of him, but like...
Oh, was that Jack Nicholson?
Yeah. Huge name golfer, I believe. Fuck. Yeah. It was so boring. Like if it was Michael Jordan and Roger Federer,
Usain Bolt,
would have been different.
Totally different.
But if you just like, I would only watch this if you were like obsessed with like
those particular athletes
and like the athletes that I can't even remember the name of because they're so boring.
Yeah.
The only thing I thought was interesting, the whole thing was that left-footed hurdlers do better than right-footed hurdlers because you're on the inside lane of your hurdle.
Yeah, I didn't even get that far. But the only thing that I took out of it, which was a good quote, is that one of the guys said, this guy was Maria Sharapova and Pete Sampras's coach. Mm. And he said, good parenting is the same as good coaching. I was like,
Oh, wow.
That's a good analogy right there. And I'm sure people with kids can relate to that. And I'm sure one day I'll be able to relate to it as well. But terrible.
I'm going to give it a really, 2 out of 5.
Really boring. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 1 out of 5.
And coming up, if you're looking for other stuff to watch, we're going to review Losing Side of the Shore, Memory Games at All Costs, and Silicon Cowboys.
How many docos was that? 4.
Yeah, 4 more.
Okay.
That we've already put in the bank that we're going to watch. I think Winning was the first time watching Netflix movies for this podcast felt like work.
Yeah. All right. Well, they got us good. So, guys, at the start of the podcast, I mentioned our new program that we launched. There'll be more in the future, but the first one is the Bench Booster. If you go to mymuscleproject.com/boost, you guys can grab that program. Super awesome. Affordable price, and you can add it on straight away. It's an 8-week program, and we look forward to hearing some pretty sick results.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll speak to you soon.